Rabotai. We're going to begin Be'ezras Hashem, Tiferes Yisrael, the sixth perek, perek Shishi. In this perek, the Maharal starts moving, developing his discussion to a different angle. And it's a subtle discussion, this perek, and we'll daven for siyata d'shmaya to understand it clearly and to convey it clearly to the best of our ability, Be'ezras Hashem. So we're going to start from a different direction. We're going to start from the direction of the mitzvahs, understanding the mitzvahs, so the whole discussion of the reasons for the mitzvahs. And we're going to use as the example, the Maharal's case in point to his discussion, to his arguments, is going to be the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. We've discussed this subject in a drasha recently, but here we're going to see the Maharal straightforward. Do mitzvahs need reasons? Is there a premise that a mitzvah has a reason? Is there a premise that a mitzvah is meant to benefit us somehow, physically, morally, ethically? So the Maharal cites a Gemara about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, simply understood, you see a mother bird hovering over, it's there, it's sitting on its eggs or chicks. You're not allowed to take the eggs or chicks. You have to send away the mother first. Only then can you take the eggs or chicks. This, you just look at this mitzvah in a straightforward way. This seems like an expression of rachmanis, an expression of mercy, of compassion on the bird. Now, there's a Gemara in Brachas that says that if a chazan says, and this is talking back in the days when people used to formulate their own tefillahs. If a chazan says, look how your mercy reached the nest of the bird, referring to the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, and he uses that as a means of invoking heavenly mercy, so mishatkin, I say. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, you shut him up. You tell him, no, that's not a valid tefillah. You can't say that. The Mishnah there mentions a couple of other formulations of tefillah that are not considered valid. But this is one. It sounds like such a beautiful tefillah. Your compassion reaches the nest of the bird. Let it reach us as well. Say, no, you can't say that. We shut him up. What's wrong with that? So the Gemara gives two explanations, cites two different opinions as to what the problem with that expression is. One is that it is a little esoteric, or maybe not, depends how you understand it. But one is that matil kinok maaseh bereishis. It's as though you're expressing that Hashem discriminates between his creatures. He has mercy on this one, he doesn't have mercy on that one. If he has mercy on the bird, why don't we find mitzvahs showing mercy on all kinds of animals? Okay, so that's explanation number one. Explanation number two is a little bit startling and quite counterintuitive. Explanation number two is mipnei she'oisa midreis av rachamim ve'inom el gzeiros. You are coming and saying that Hashem's mitzvahs are rachamim, while really all they are is decrees. That's a surprising statement. In other words, he's coming and saying, no, do not attribute rachmanis to the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. It's a decree and that's all. Now, what is the reason for the mitzvah at the end of the day? So here, before we get into the Maharal himself, he quotes something that the Rambam says and something that the Ramban says. These have to be well understood. So, first of all, he brings the Rambam. The Rambam in Moir Nevuchim says that actually this mitzvah is an expression of Hashem's Rachmanus. It's an expression of Rachmanus. I shouldn't say Hashem's Rachmanus. You have to see exactly what the Rambam means. But he says that actually it is an expression of Rachmanus. And he says, he concludes after he discusses this mitzvah, he says This is meant as an example. If Hashem is showing compassion for animals, for birds, and for animals, for beasts, then certainly we can understand what Hashem's compassion for people is. So the Rambam is, yes, explaining this mitzvah as an expression of compassion. So now he goes on and says, you're going to tell me that there's a Gemara in Brachas. If the Gemara in Brachas says that, that's not the explanation for the mitzvah. So he says, no. There are differing approaches among the Chachamim. And yes, this follows the approach that the mitzvahs of Hashem don't contain reasons. They're simply imposed. We don't know exactly why. But we follow the other opinion. We follow the other opinion, and therefore, yes, the Gemara says this. This is not the opinion that's accepted as the bottom line. We follow the opinion that says that, no, we do attribute these types of reasons to the mitzvahs, and therefore we do say, contrary to the Gemara and Brachas, we do say that this is an expression of Hashem's Rachmanus. Okay, so the Maharal takes issue with that, and he says that it doesn't seem correct to dismiss a Gemara that's stated so clearly out of hand. We need more basis for it. He doesn't accept the Rambam's approach. Then the Ramban comes with a slightly similar but subtly different approach, and he gets around the Gemara in Brachas in a very profound way. He again says that the purpose of this mitzvah is Rachmanis, but he says the idea is not that Hashem had Rachmanis on the bird. And the Maharal talks about this at length. He said Hashem can handle that. If the purpose was that Hashem had Rachmanis on the bird, then Hashem would have also not created a reality where wolves tear apart birds and where wolves tear apart rabbits, etc. He says, no, that's not the idea. But the idea is that Hashem wants us to have the Midah of Rachmanis. All the Gemara and Brachas is saying is, don't say that the mitzvahs are, so to speak, because, you know, this hurts Hashem. It hurts Hashem that the bird should be hurt. That's not the idea. We're not doing the mitzvahs in order to provide Hashem with a comfortable existence. He can't bear to see it, etc., etc. But it is Rachmanis, just not Hashem's Rachmanis. It's because Hashem wants us to have the mid of Rachmanis. This is a very, very profound understanding. And the Ramban sees this as an example of a mitzvah that's really a model. It's really meant to impress upon us sensitivities. And he says it's the same idea for the mitzvah of Oisei Ves Benoi, that you're not allowed to slaughter the mother cow and the child cow in the same day. These are all for the same idea. It's not that Hashem felt bad for the animal. It's not that Hashem felt bad for the animal. If you look out in the wild world, in the world of wildlife, it's not a gentle world. But the idea is that Hashem, as his people, Hashem wants us to develop these midas of Rachmanis. He doesn't want us to have cruel or callous natures. And therefore, Hashem gave these mitzvahs. So now, here, the Ramban is okay with the Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara and Brachas does not conflict with what he's saying. But nevertheless, the Maharal comes and questions this as well. And he says, if that's the idea, he has a few different technical questions. He says, if the idea is that Hashem wants us to develop the Midah of Rachmanis, so therefore he forbade us from slaughtering the mother cow and the child cow on the same day. He says, but 1 minute, let's actually analyze the details of these halachos. He gives two examples. He says, first of all, this applies only to behemoths, the domestic animals. It doesn't apply to chayas, the wild animals. For example, if you captured a mother deer and its fawn, you're allowed to slaughter them both in the same day. So the Maharal says, 1 minute, what happened to the meat of Rachmanis that Hashem wants us to have? Another example, he says, you're not allowed to slaughter them both in the same day. So that means that if you slaughtered one at 6 in the morning, and Shkia is at 7, you wouldn't be allowed to slaughter the other one at 6 in the evening, or even at 6:45 in the evening. Okay? Right? Can't slaughter them both on the same day. But if you slaughter them on different days, you could, even if you do one a minute before nightfall, a minute after nightfall. Let's not calculate Ben Hashmashas right now. If you have, it's right before nightfall, if you could determine exactly what nightfall is, you could slaughter one now, a half a minute before nightfall, the next one a minute later, after nightfall, it's ready the next day. So he says, well, that's more rachmanis. You avoid doing it with a 13-hour break, but then you could do it one after the other as long as it's not the same day. So the Maharal says, no, you see that this explanation does not work with the details of the mitzvah. So that presumably is not the explanation either. The Maharal wants to go in the direction of saying that this mamish has nothing to do with rachmanis. Now, I think we can allow ourselves to say we're talking about, here it would be appropriate to say, we're talking about differences between the greatest of the great in our history, and each position has to be properly understood. In a general way, the way we would understand the Ramban is that it's true, it doesn't necessarily work with all the details of the mitzvahs, but it doesn't necessarily have to, meaning many mitzvahs are here to serve as a sample. Hashem permits us to use animals for our purposes. Hashem permits us to slaughter animals in order to eat them. Hashem permits us to slaughter animals in order to use their furs, etc. And don't let the modern-minded people tell you that there's anything wrong with that. Hashem even permits us to hurt animals if there is human need. Meaning not just slaughter, which can theoretically be a second, and then the animal is not there anymore. But, for example, if there are medical experiments that need to be done on animals in order to create medicines for people, that's permitted. These things are discussed in the Poskim, exactly how it works. Now, there is an Isser of Tzar Bali Chaim. How does that work with all this? So there's basically two answers, and these are, again, complex discussions in halacha. Tzar Bali Chaim is given a lot of weight in halacha. But A, Tzar Bali Chaim means you can't do it for nothing. You have to have compassion on an animal. Now, if there's a human need, it trumps Tzar Bali Chaim. But Tzar Bali Chaim is there nevertheless. We do have to have compassion. Just our needs will override that. Okay, but besides that, you even see in the Poskim discussion of when extremely cruel things may not be allowed to be done, even for human needs. So it's a discussion. But whatever the case is, the Ramban is coming and saying as follows. Yes, you're allowed to slaughter animals, you're even allowed to cause them pain when there's human need, and that the truth is that that's a discussion in itself. We're not going to get into that now. That has to be properly understood. But nevertheless, like we said before, Hashem still wants you to be a compassionate person. Hashem still wants you not to be callous. And therefore, Hashem will come and give some mitzvahs as a model. You should take the model of that mitzvah and internalize the sensitivity. Now, the Torah might not come and apply it in an all-encompassing way. But it gives you the iser of shiluach hakein. You're not allowed to take the mother when the chicks are there. Sorry, you can't take the chicks when the mother is there. It gives you the issur of oisev is b'nai, you're not allowed to slaughter mother and child on the same day. Now, it's true, it won't apply in every circumstance, and here it won't be nageya, there it won't be nageya, and it's not something that the Torah is really applying in an absolute blanket kind of way. But the Torah is saying, as much as you're using animals for your needs, as much as I'm permitting you to use animals for your needs, and as much as the truth is that animals were created for the purpose of man, I still want to throw in these mitzvahs so that you maintain a certain compassion. Don't become completely cruel and callous. Maintain that sensitivity. Do what you need to do, but with that sensitivity. That's the person that I want to have, a person who is sensitive. So therefore, the mitzvah is kind of like a model. The truth is that that's a general rule for many mitzvahs. Alter of Kelm said that the mitzvahs of the Torah are like an index. They each one has lessons to learn that can be applied other places as well, even if they aren't really the hardcore application of the mitzvah. But that's the sheet of the Ramban. The Maharal is resisting that. The Maharal is resisting that. And the Maharal wants to say that no, this mitzvah has nothing to do with Rachmanis. It has nothing to do with Rachmanis, not Hashem's Rachmanis on the bird, and not even necessarily our Rachmanis. There are mitzvahs that are written in a very straightforward way are commanding us to have Rachmanis. Okay. But the Gemara is telling us, don't attribute that to this mitzvah. This mitzvah may have absolutely nothing to do with Rachmanis. What is it? So here he puts a lot of weight on the Gemara's expression, Einam elo gezeirais. They are gezeirais, they are decrees. What do we mean by decrees? So here the Maharal is going to be going to a, is heading to a subtle understanding of what we've been discussing previously. And we'll have to develop that properly. But it comes back to the understanding that if we would see the big picture, we are human beings. We see a very, very small part of reality. And the truth is that reality is much, much bigger than us, much, much more immense than us. And the only one who really sees all that is Hashem. And there are many mitzvahs that Hashem will come and say, you know what, this is completely out of the realm of your understanding. It's not a part of your whole life experience. It's not a part of your sensitivities. It's not a part of your moral system. Even the moral system that I imposed on you, this is something that has nothing to do with that. This is something that's necessary for reasons that are completely beyond you. If you would see the big, immense picture that I see, you would understand it. And we all operate this way in the medical world, right? We understand when we're taking medicines. We understand that there's all kinds of chemicals out there with all kinds of properties that we don't understand, right? And not all capsules are the same, right? They all look the same, but they're not all the same. If you would understand, if you'd be a pharmacist, if you'd be a doctor, you'd understand all the workings of all these different things, you'd understand why it's immensely important that even though these two capsules look the same, one is appropriate for a child with bronchitis, and the other is appropriate for an adult with some other condition. And chas v'shalom to confuse the two, even though they basically look the same. So the Maharal is coming and saying, you have to understand that the gzeiros of Hashem, not all of them have to have explanations. Not all of them have to be within our realm. Now, this is something we're used to already. We're already used to the concept that there are chukim. But he's giving us further insight into those chukim, and he's telling us it's the understanding that Hashem, when he gave us this system called mitzvahs, he's not just operating with the physical world. But the mitzvahs, as we've been discussing the whole time, they are affecting things in much higher places. They're affecting our neshama. They're affecting things that are completely beyond our senses. And therefore, you have to understand that there are going to be things that, from our perspective, they're simply gzeiros. They're decrees. But actually, what they're coming from a place where Hashem sees a much broader reality, and that's why he's imposing these mitzvahs. Just to give we'll end with a brief mashal to this effect. This is a classic mashal that I heard often as a kid, and somehow or the other, as I grew up, I stopped hearing it. So I don't know if it's a famous mashal or if it was just a mashal that my Rebbe liked to tell when I was a little kid. But we'll tell the mashal briefly. The mashal of a poor man who was going around begging for help, for food, for clothing, for money. And he came, he knocked on a very wealthy-looking, luxurious house. He knocked on the door. And they opened the door and they let him in. And what was actually going on there at those moments was that the Balabais, a wealthy man, had just renovated his living room. It was like a huge ballroom. And the centerpiece was a big, massive chandelier right in the middle of his main hall. And he made a reception for all of his associates to come and to see his newly renovated home, with the cherry on the top being that chandelier in the middle. And this person chanced upon this occasion, and he comes in and He's just begging for some help, for some food, for some clothing. So the Balabais came over to him and said, you know what, you're in luck. I happen to just put up in my attic a whole pile of old clothing that we're never going to use again. You can go up to the attic. You showed him the way. You can go up to the attic and take as much as you can carry. You can help yourself. He said, but listen, just one thing, very important. I wish I could help you more, but you'll see like a whole pile of ropes in the middle of the attic. You can't take any of them. You want to make yourself a bundle of clothing, you have to somehow hold it together with your hands. You can't take any of those ropes. Keep away from those ropes. Okay. Fellow goes up. He's thrilled. He sees all the clothing he could possibly want. Gathering it together, it's going to be too much to carry. And then he sees the pile of ropes in the middle that the Balabais was talking about. And he thinks to himself, okay, the Balabais needed them. But you know what? If I cut off a little piece, no one will notice and it won't really make a difference to him, etc. So he goes, he makes a little snip, and he continues up in the quiet, dark attic, putting this stuff together. Now, he doesn't realize that these ropes actually was the system holding that chandelier in place. Down at the bottom, beyond his earshot, that whole chandelier just came crashing down. That chandelier came crashing down, and there's a whole scene down there now. People are screaming and shouting, and people are hurt, and the whole thing is wrecked, and et cetera, et cetera. But he's up there, he has no idea of the commotion he just caused. All he did was give an innocent little cut at the ropes. And he cut himself, not a very big rope, just a foot long, whatever, to tie up some clothing. So the idea being that he figured, okay, what harm could already be? He has no idea what the effects are in places that are completely outside his realm, that are completely outside his scope of vision. So this is the idea. It goes in the positive direction also. This is a mashal about the negative direction, what the effect of doing the wrong thing could be. But it goes in the positive direction also. We understand many of the mitzvahs of Hashem are given as gzeiros. Hashem is telling you there are things that are way beyond you. And I am giving these as gzeiros because this is what is true, what's needed. If you would see the bigger picture, you'd see that there's no way it could be different. But you don't see the bigger picture, so you can't. You don't see what's the significance of this, or why does it really make a difference, or what's so terrible. The Maharal has to be developed further. He's making some even more subtle points. We'll see Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow. Now we'll unmute and we will say goodnight, Be'ezus Hashem. Sorry, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is the Drasha, but Be'ezus Hashem next week. Now we'll unmute.